you'll take complete control, you'll take preeminence, you'll have your way, take your place, fill this place with your glory, with your presence, with your wisdom, with your light, with strength, with revelation, with understanding. Quicken our spirits, quicken our understanding. Lord, heal our physical bodies, grant us great grace to know you more, Lord, even in this place, to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly, hear you more distinctly, obey you more promptly. So indeed we'll spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. Lord, we give you the praise as you cause more than we could ever ask or think to be done, causing your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives and in this meeting this evening. Thank you again as a great time of praise and worship. Thank you because this is what you delight in and feed on. We pray that indeed our praises will rise unto you like incense. Lord, you will inhabit our praises. You will fill this place with your glory, with your anointing, with your presence, with your truth, with your life. Lord, and at the end of this time of praise and worship, Lord, would have experienced even a greater degree in Jesus' name. Lord, take all the praise, take all the glory. Now unto you, O Lord God, be all the praise and all the glory. Let's stand up on our feet as we're in time of praise and worship.
Let's lift our hands unto the Lord and begin to bless his name. O Lord, you are worthy. We worship you in spirit and truth. God of all flesh. We live to open our eyes. You've got times and seasons in your hands. You call for light, you call for light out of darkness. You have chosen, but you have chosen to call us your own. You've got times and seasons in your hands. Yahweh, you call for light, you call for light. Koinonia, breathe. Your day, well, hey,
Jesus Christ the Son. Oh, channels of my spirit open up.
Evaporated at a glimpse of light. You are the light.
You are the
We open up our hearts to you, Lord. To you, we open up our hearts for revival, for refreshing, for enlightenment. As we behold you, we are transformed into your likeness. And we bear your image. As we have found the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. And we shine as bright lights in the midst of a crooked generation.
At all. Thank you because you're the one that said in the beginning, light be, and there was light. Thank you because you have caused the same light to shine in our hearts, dispelling all darkness and gross darkness, even from our hearts and from our lives, from the people. For darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But you, God, our Father, you be our light, O Lord God, and will arise and shine with our light. Thank you, Lord God, for causing our light to dispel darkness. For where the light shines, the darkness doth not comprehend it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because indeed you are the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You are light. You are the light of the world, and you have made us lights also. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because where the word of a king is, there is power, there is life, there is light. Thank you, because by you we have life. Because of you we have light. Thank you for causing light, O Lord God Father, to shine forth, making us light ourselves. Thank you, O Lord God, for the light of revelation of who you are and who we are in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that which you have stretched forth, stretching forth the golden scepter towards us, Lord, so that we will rule in the midst of our enemies. So we will shine like bright lights in the universe, holding forth the word of life. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that which you have sent forth, even the word of life, the word of light, even in our hearts and in this place, so that all darkness, O Lord God Father, is dispelled. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of light, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reality. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. You are El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Thank you for causing the Prince of Light. Yes, the Prince of Life. And the light of the word of God, even in this place, to be exalted, Lord God, to be magnified, Lord, to be expressed, oh Lord God, to gain ascendancy, to rule and to reign, even in our midst. So I will not leave this place the same way we have come in. We worship you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank thank you. Wonderful Lord, Holy Spirit, Spirit of light, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of understanding, we welcome you. Have your way. Fill this place. Take complete control and preeminence of what we think, speak, and do. To the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take our seats with a clap offering unto the Lord in the presence of the Lord. Let's get a clap offering unto the Lord. I can't hear that clap better. You can do better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much, minstrels. The Lord bless you. I'd like to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bishop and the Shepherd of our souls, with our under-shepherd, our pastors in the house, our fathers in the house, Pastor Luby Johnson, Mom, Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap of hands to the Lord for our fathers. We thank God. You know, Zion State Fellowship, like we always do, introduces the campus outreach home of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by these wonderful people, Pastor and Mommy. We trust God that by His mercy and grace, they will see the trouble of their souls in our lives. They will be satisfied in Jesus' name. And they will know that they have not run or labored in vain in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We give God the glory. I'd like you to welcome your neighbor with a warm word of blessing, a beautiful smile on your face. Welcome them in the name of Jesus. Two or three people around you, it's important that you shake hands. I think you can shake now. You know, bless them in the name of the Lord. It's good to have you. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. The Lord bless you. Trust you had a wonderful day so far, a wonderful working day, week. We trust that you will have a beautiful weekend, you know. Good to have you. See you guys. I bless you in the name of the Lord. And people that are joining on online, we also bless you in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, Prophet is not around. He sends his love and his prayers, just like Pastor and Mommy have also sent their prayers and love. And we trust that God has answered that prayer for our benefits and to his glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we go straight into the word. Father, we just thank you again for your presence that is already here. Thank you because you're our Father. Thank you because you're our King. Thank you because you're our friend. Thank you because you're our strength and our healer. We continue to come by the blood of the Lamb. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help in this time of need. As we go into your word, we recognize that it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of you that shows mercy. And we thank you because you have promised us that the Holy Spirit will help us. He will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. He will bring to our remembrance that which you have taught us, O Lord God, that which you have said. He will glorify you. And we pray that all these, O Lord God, Father, will be done even in this place in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray first for myself. I ask for mercy, Lord God, that your word will come forth, O Lord God, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, that you will do that work, that eternal work and internal work in our hearts and in our lives of all of us, the hearers, those that will be joining online, those that will be listening later. Lord, that indeed this word, O Lord God, will work incredible, mighty workings even in our lives and our hearts in Jesus' name. We pray most importantly that you will fashion us into your very image and likeness. You will change us into your image and likeness. You will take us from where we are to where we ought to be. You will transform us. You will edify us. You will build us up. You will save us to the uttermost. Lord, you will bind us to your will. Lord God, you will loose us, O Lord God, from the bonds of wickedness and wicked plots of the enemy and establish us in your will. Help us to love you more. Lord, to see you more clearly. O Lord God, to love you more dearly, to follow you more, even in this place. We thank you because you know that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. And so we'll go straight into the word. And, you know, last week, Prof was taking us through. Who remembers what Prof took us through last week? Exactly. Wisdom is profitable to direct, you know. And in the course of the message, you know, God dropped something in my heart, which I actually started. And as I was praying, the same thing, same phrase kept coming up. And so I just knew that it was strong on my heart. And so I knew that that was what God wanted us to talk about today. And the title is Pulling Down Strongholds. Say, pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. And you know, when Prof was talking about his emphasis by his grace and mercy was about how we can walk in wisdom and pray the Pauline prayers, you know, and how we can do this things consistently, how we've had examples, you know, in the house, like Pastor who has been praying these prayers for years, for decades, like for 4 decades, 40 years, you know. These are prayers that Paul prayed for the church, you know, and was pinned down in scripture, you know, in the Bible. And so there are prayers that we also can pray. You know, Kenneth Hagin revealed to him Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 19. Paul praying for Ephesians so that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, and then in Ephesians 3, he prayed for them that God will strengthen them. And if you look into our lives, and many people have asked this question that they need strength. You know, where, what is their purpose in life? What is their destiny? What is their calling? And you know that when you pray these prayers, God begins to open up, like we are singing, the channels, you know, of our spirit, the channels of glory. You know, these are things that God wants to open up. These are doors, you know, and heavens that God wants to open so that we can get revelation, understanding, and light. You know, you say, Imole deo okunko parada. It's not electricity you're talking about. You're talking about revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're talking about the darkened mind. As you get to see that some of the strongholds we have, you know, are caused by ignorance. Some of those strongholds are darkness. Some of those strongholds are fear. You know, and as we are talking about this, I want you to be very honest with yourselves as the words come out of my mouth, because they are not my words. You know, they are His words. And I want you to look into your heart and let the word do the sifting. Let the word, which is light. The Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Let it dispel the darkness. So you must open up. I like what Anya first said. We must open up our hearts. You know, as this word comes forth by His mercy and grace. The Bible says that receiving the word of God, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But if you do not open your heart, if you are close to the word with an attitude, you know, you will not receive that light. And it's not able to dispel darkness, because God will not force you. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, He stands at the door and knocks. Can you imagine? At the door of His own creation, at the door of the church, He knocks because He's a gentleman. He's not a bully. He's not an oppressor. He's not a tyrant. He will not force the door broken, you know. But it is important that you open up your heart so that the word of light can dispel this darkness. So our strongholds can be pulled down. You know, and as Prof was talking last week about wisdom, which is profitable to direct, you know, the Lord laid strong on my heart that people don't do some of these instructions because of strongholds. One, some of them is fear. Some is laziness, some is okay because it's not popular. And as you get to see, to pull down strongholds, to renew your mind, to be able to face the right path and fulfill purpose and destiny, there are things that you do that has nothing to do with trending, likes, popularity. Are you listening to me? Are we together? I need your response. Are we together? And so as we start this topic, I'm trusting I'll be able to finish today. We'll quickly go through 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 to 5. This is also a message our pastor has preached. So thankfully, as that word came to mind, I was jotting my notes and doing my own thing by His grace and mercy. And I found that the fathers have even gone ahead. Pastor preached this thing in 2012. You know, so it was a good thing to compare notes and be able to see how we could break it down such that we, for ourselves as young adults, we can also understand and relate with. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. You know, if we read from verse 3, the screen is not up. If we read from verse 3, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight, because we war not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then in verse 4, it says, the weapons, for the weapons, because we are not warring against flesh and blood, because our enemies are not seen, they are invisible. You know, and so he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means that they are not natural. It has nothing to do with guns or swords. You know, it has nothing to do with stones and spears. It has nothing to do with missiles and nuclear weapons and bombs. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through what? God. And quickly have this in mind, you know, because everything I'm going to say is going to go back to that thing our prof ended with about the landmarks of the path to life. We keep coming back to it, and we keep seeing the importance of a particular word. Because you see, as I take you through this thing, you will see at the end that it is the instruction that you practice that will help you to benefit and walk in the reality of these truths. You know, you can get excited, you can get happy, you can enjoy this place, and at the end we take biscuits and drink. But you know that life is more than that. And you know that the important thing is that as I've taken my time to come here, the word I'm hearing must be mixed with faith, to benefit me spiritually, mentally, physically, academically, financially, in every area of my life. Are we together? It must benefit me by transforming me. My coming to church on Sundays and spending 3, 4, 5 hours must transform me and take me from where I am to where I ought to be. It must make me more like Jesus, conform me to the image of Christ, or else I'm wasting my time. And so, he said, he ended with importance of praying the Pauline prayers, which I'm going to come back to. But I want us to have a background of the word. You know, so you know that the instructions that you are giving are things that will help you to walk in the light of these truths, especially of pulling down strongholds. And so he says, but they are mighty through God, and God is love. Say, God is love. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, it tells us that God is love. Are we together? We know that God is light, God is love, God is life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are we together? So God is love. That's what the Bible says. Let the scriptures define scriptures. And so, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have three major things that we are dealing with. That Satan uses to control men. And keeps them in captivity. And most importantly, does not allow them to grow. To fulfill purpose and destiny, your whole essence of myself and you, our whole essence of becoming Christians, of becoming born again, is to grow. It's not just to be born again. Born again is just beginning. God doesn't want you and me to end as babies. Who wants? Yes, we are happy, we are rejoicing when the baby comes, but we want the baby to grow. Right, listen to me. We want the baby to grow, to also fulfill purpose and destiny, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, have dominion. To fulfill purpose and destiny. And so, the whole essence why the enemy keeps people in captivity is so that they don't grow. All right, listen to me. They don't grow. That divine substance, divine nature in them must not grow. That's the enemy's tactic. To make them fulfill their purpose and destiny and manifest the glory of God in wisdom, in power, in resources, in creativity, in wealth. In sinlessness. And so, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a mindset that is contrary to God's word, the truth of God's word. And you see, it has been accepted as truth. It's not true, but it has been accepted as truth, and it has even been experienced. And because it has been experienced, it has been accepted as truth. That's a stronghold. A stronghold is a mindset, is a thought pattern. That is contrary to God's word, but has been accepted as truth by people's wills because it has also been experienced. And you know, that's why it is a stronghold now. It's difficult for the natural man to say that it is not to say that it is impossible because it has already become a stronghold in the person's mind. One, by tradition. Two, culture. Three, ancestry. You've seen it and you say, no, it's not possible, Joe. Because you know why? The reason is because it has been experienced. And the reason why it has been experienced is because it has been accepted by the will of men as true, even though it is contrary to God's word. So they will tell you that, can't you see? Are you two not experiencing it? So you and me, we have those strongholds in our lives. Are you listening to me? Of course, we'll come to define some of them. I mean, a simple stronghold is, and even Paul mentioned it, is that, is it possible to be sinless? Is it possible to reach a state where you are actually in control there? You've dominated sin. You are cleaning out sin from your system so you can be like Jesus. There is a major stronghold that it is not possible because we've not seen people experience it that much. And even we ourselves, the experience that we are having is contrary to what the word says. That's a number one stronghold. Are you listening to me? Even for Christians, we will come to more strongholds. So a stronghold is a thought pattern or mindset that is contrary to the word. It has been accepted as truth. Because it has been physically experienced over many years, decades, centuries, and millennia. Are you listening to me? Now, that's why if you go back to that verse in verse 3, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. There was a particular reason why that sentence was introduced before he talked about the weapons of our warfare, before he talked about strongholds. Because it was going to take you back to the fact that never live by sight or by experience. Live by faith. I listen to me. And to remind you that experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher and he can use experiences. I listen to me. The number one thing you use is revelation, the word of God. And then you experience the word of God. But really, Satan, we know that we have an enemy. And so he also builds a stronghold. He also builds a fortress by a reason of experiences that are contrary to God's word. And then over days and months and years and decades and millennia, people have said, well, that's the truth, Joe. They've counted it as okay. See, when something is contrary to God's word and you said it is okay, or you've said that there is nothing I can do about it, you might not say it with your mouth, though, especially if you're in the church and the direct opposite is being preached. You know, you said, it's okay, I wrote it here, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's a stronghold. Especially and always when it is contrary to God's word. Are you listening to me? You've just taken that status quo. Okay, there's nothing we can do about it, though. You might be hearing it, we might be all be excited and be smiling, but you know, by the time you leave the church again, you might fall under that power. That's a stronghold. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I want you to be analyzing it and knowing and calling what is a stronghold in your life and in my life. I listen to me. Because the first point of solving this problem is being honest. That this thing, whether I believe it or I don't believe it, it is a stronghold. I listen to me. Now, let's talk about imagination. We'll see how far we can go today, even if we can't finish it. What is an imagination? An imagination is a thought. It has been accepted by the human will. We have accepted it. We said it's okay. But you have not physically experienced it yet. An imagination is a thought. You can see everything starts with a thought. Stronghold is a thought too. It's a mindset. A thought, I'll use a physical analogy like Pastor used, you know, so that we can understand it better. But an imagination is a thought. Your will has accepted it, but it has not yet physically manifested. That's why some people, they imagine immorality. They imagine, you know, different thoughts about different things. That's an imagination. You can also, of course, there are also good imaginations. You can imagine yourself in Colorado. You can imagine yourself in what you'll be 10 years' time, 15 years' time. Let's talk about the good part. You understand? Those are imaginations. It's a picture, a thought. You've accepted it in your will, but even though you've experienced it, you can imagine that you're in Cold Stone right now and taking some wonderful ice cream with pizza, you know, chairman by the side. Listen to me. That's some nice imagination, isn't it? We're willing to pay for it anyway. You understand? So, imagination is a thought accepted, either good or bad, accepted by your will. Let us make man in our own image. The thought, then a word. You understand? Imagination. You can imagine different. I can tell you that imagine that you're in New York. Imagine that you're in Lagos. Imagine. You just imagine that. You know, there's always 24/7 light. Some people, that imagination is very difficult to imagine. Especially if you've never experienced it or never seen it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can see the power of these thoughts, the power of imagination, the power of strongholds. Like that one I gave us about sin. And like I told you, it's the remote control. You know that the way remote control works is by having sensors. Do you understand? If there's no sensor, if you bring an LG TV and you bring a Samsung remote, it won't work. The frequencies are different. The sensors are different. They deliberately make it like that. I listen to me. So the point I'm trying to make is that the sensor that the enemy uses to control is stronghold. And if it is the person just gets depressed. Just gets, oh, I can never make it. Self-condemnation. Fear. I listen to me. We're going to talk about some of those strongholds. And so, we have seen the definition of stronghold, the definition of imagination. Imagination, the difference between imagination and stronghold, that imagination has not yet been experienced. Like I gave you an example. You can imagine different things. When is this guy going to finish? That's not a good imagination. You know? But, just joking. But the point I'm trying to, we are familiar with this. You see, we live these things every day. And these things have grown with us and have even dictated where we are and how we are thinking and our states right now, that we are so familiar with them that we think that it's just normal and nothing to begin to be very conscious of and take control of. And so let's talk about thoughts. A thought is a thought. It has not yet been accepted by your will. So now we're talking about thoughts are like gases. Imagination is like liquid. Stronghold is what? Solid. You don't hard. It's going to take some work and labor to break it and uproot it. Some of them are ancestry. Like I told you, some of them are formed by culture. Some of them are formed by tradition. Some of them are formed by environment. Some of them are formed by what we have associated ourselves with. Music, words, what you have believed over the years. Movies, books. It's all words anyway. What you have experienced, experiences. Are we together? Am I communicating? Are you able to relate? So, because we are saying that we want to pull down strongholds. You can have good strongholds. We should have good strongholds. We should replace and rebuild strongholds, bad strongholds, with good strongholds. When you pull down one, you should rebuild. The Lord talking to Jeremiah, he said, I have set to pull down kingdoms, to destroy, to set up and to build. So as you are pulling down strongholds, you are supposed to be replacing them. And that's why he says, think only on these things. Things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence and of praise. Replace the thoughts. Replace the imaginations. Replace the strongholds with godly thoughts, godly imaginations, godly strongholds. Because imagine, it's important for you to know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the way imaginations come, imagination starts from thoughts. Stronghold starts from imaginations. Imagination starts from thoughts. Are you listening to me? Are we together? And so, look again, as I'm talking, you're imagining and remembering the strongholds that you and I, we have in our lives. And so let's talk about some of those strongholds, major strongholds. As is written here, and which I said, if you don't correct your thoughts right now, it will dictate your imaginations and it will dictate your strongholds. Are you listening to me? And so let's talk about some of the three major strongholds that are mentioned here. I believe that it actually covers different areas. And you relate with me. Maybe at the end, if I do have some time, we can have some interactive session. Let's see how it goes. But let's see how far we can go today. And so the first one is fear. A major stronghold in the lives of all of us, many people, is fear. Even when you were small. Once they take light like this, or middle of the night, they take light like this to go to the toilet is a problem. Fear. Even as you are on campus, as I'm looking at your faces, you know, we are looking like strong men, strong women. Once, it's not your portion, it's just said, but you know, so we start hearing cricket sounds, frog sounds, all kind of funny sounds. I'll go hold down. You know, but fear, and usually it's fear, a major one is actually a fear of physical death. There are different kinds of fears, you know, which are strongholds. Some of them, they call them phobias, you know. But fear of physical death is a major stronghold for many people. For all fallen men, you know. And so, that's why many people seek power. People don't want to die. There was one movie, he said, all men won't go heaven. Nobody won't die. You understand? So, fear of physical death, or fear, even if for many people, they haven't reached a state where they have faced things that have triggered them, you know, in a face of death, God forbid. But you know that ordinary fears, like I've mentioned, is a major challenge, a stronghold for many people that you need to displace. And then it's, as I'm talking now, there is that part of your subconscious that will tell you that, this thing that were, is it possible to deal with it and overcome it? It shows, it only proves that fear is a stronghold. That which you say is okay, it's not possible to overcome and dethrone it. That means that thing has become a stronghold, that has become a throne. It is sitting as a throne. Are you listening to me? And so God is saying, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through love. You get to see the importance of love in all this. To displace, to overthrow, to pull down strongholds. I don't care what they are. People have experienced it. The millennia from which they have experienced it, the culture that has experienced it, how it has been for this culture, Ijebu, they don't spend money. They love to keep Ijesha. They are, you know, they have strongholds for each tribe, Sha. You know now. Eh? And it's by experience. So they will say, oh, it's just like that. That's how it is. Don't mind them. They're just speaking English. And so those are the kind of things that God always likes to tackle and attack. Cultures and traditions that make the word of God of no effect. Experiences of men and women, boys and girls over the years, of families. And then it has happened, and that's how just how they do it in our family. And so a little joke that came up, it said that the lady always cooks like this for husband. So they asked her, why do you cook? Why do you like to cut the thing like this, this way? Small like this. He said, but that's how my mother used to do it now. He asked the mother, he said, why do you two, you cut the things that you used to make this food? Why do you cut it small like this? This same shape. You cut it like this for your husband. He said, that's how my own mother too used to do it now. So you can see he's going to grandmother already. He asked the grandmother, said, why do you cut the food like this and all the things that used to make the food like this now? He said, it's because you don't have money. Now, so you can see the reason why they've been cutting things like that, they were just copying. It was a stronghold in the family. Ideally, actually, it was because of poverty. I listen to me. So now, some strongholds themselves are rooted in things that you yourself, you might not know. I listen to me. That's why I said, strongholds, sometimes they're ancestry. Some of them, they're by association. Of course, it's all the devil. I'm talking about bad strongholds. And things I feel that in our own terminology as millennials and as Gen Z, you say it is okay. There's nothing you can do about it. Just stick with the status quo. Don't fight it too. Don't battle it. There's nothing. All that one that they are saying. I listen to me. That is a stronghold. And now, we've talked about one major stronghold, fear. Especially fear of physical death. Another stronghold, I don't need it to be holier than that. I need it to be very, very, very open to me. And I want you to be saying yes, you know, as I'm telling you about these strongholds. Number one is fear, isn't it? Good. And the major one is fear of death, right? If you're not saying yes, it's because you're afraid. You didn't be afraid, you know. You will live and not die. But we need to talk about these things. Because if you don't talk about, like I said, you don't confess it and acknowledge it, then you'll not deal with it. Then it will be like a cloud in your mind. The stronghold is there as a mountain that is clouded. But when you say yes, then we deal with the cloud and we are seeing it. And then you know what you're facing. I listen to me. And how serious we need to be about this. Then the second thing is love of sex. Say sex. Say sex. Yes. Sex is a major stronghold. Satan has used it. He has painted it so much. See, sex is the will of God inside marriage, but not outside marriage, it is not the will of God. So get that straight. I listen to me. But you can see a major stronghold, a major thing that Satan uses is sex. I listen to me. Especially illicit sex. And if you can't get the person to do it physically, he tries to work it in the thoughts. That's every movie, literally every movie always has that. Even cartoons are having it. And so you have to be very careful. Books have it. Magazines have it. Porn is there. And so these things are all over the internet and all over the world. Why? Satan uses it. And he knows that he's catching so many people. Just read Proverbs 6 and 7. Proverbs 5, 6 and 7. So a major thing, a major stronghold that we need to deal with, and that is facing many young people inside church, outside church, is sex. Now listen to me. You know, I used to call it ISAD. There's iPad, there's iPod. Illicit sex, alcohol, and drugs. Illicit sex, alcohol, and drugs are strongholds in this state, in this city, in this nation, in this generation that we're facing. These are strongholds. Illicit sex, alcohol, and drugs. That's why you see bars everywhere. You see pubs everywhere. Go out now in the night. Don't you agree with me? The way people are looking, as if I'm the only one that is, knows what's happening in the city. And so, you see, Satan is using a stronghold because he knows that that's one thing to remote control people. So, fear of death, fear of physical death, fear generally, irrespective of the kind of fear it is, breeded by the lust of the flesh, you know, love of sex, immorality, breeded by lust of the eyes. And Jesus knew the stronghold. That's why he said, if you think about it, he doesn't want us, he knows where he starts. That's why he talked about that thing of a higher level, dealing with it at the thought level, dealing with that stronghold. That's what the Lord Jesus was doing at that point. Love of money, materialism. And you see, while I was thinking about this thing, I'm thinking about us as young people and the challenges that we face. And the things that come against all of us, it's coming against you, it's coming against me. I can relate. And you should be able to relate to it. That's why I said you should be very open. You know the things, the challenges that you are facing and that I am facing. And that's why we're talking about this thing. And we're going to talk about the solution. If we don't cover it today, we'll cover it next week by God's grace. But let's talk about the problem. Why? And what? First, what are these strongholds? And so, if you see the one of love of money, I put as materialism. Materialism. You want to buy this, you want to buy that, you see this person, you want to have this. Yeah, of course, it's good to have good things. It's good to look good. God wants us to look good and glorious, you know, attractive. People to look at us and say, oh, glory be to God. Oh. You know, but when we want things when it's not time, or beyond the time it's time, beyond a particular level, at a particular time, we want it too much. That's materialism. You want to shop this, you want to be on Amazon, you want to be on Jumia, Konga, you want to have this, you want to, you know, it's good to desire good things. Nobody says that, but materialism and love of money, and then that's why you see lots of, of course, they call them Yahoo Yahoo, and you have all these 419ers online, you know, cyber crimes. Why? Is materialism, love of money. That's why it's not the money that is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. It's a major stronghold. And you see, because I know it's a stronghold, and anytime we preach it, you know, I know in the subconscious, in the mind, that thing is there, and then you need to deal with it. And I just want to encourage you with this, because you see, as we're in campus, you're seeing mates having latest cars. And you know how some of them got these things. You know they got it the wrong way. You know, it's not something they can afford a normal day, but they've done something wrong somewhere. Because he that hasteth to be rich will not be innocent. And so, what I want you to encourage is this. Because that temptation comes and is pressuring you. And it's pressuring young people. The Lord reminded me of Jannes and Jambres. I don't even know Jannes and Jambres. These are the magicians that faced Moses. And let me tell you, they did magical, no doubt. Are you listening to me? And so before you start desiring dainty meats that is served, that the devil serves to try and tempt us, let us remember Jannes and Jambres. They brought their own rods too. They threw it down. And the rods turned to serpents. But guess what? The rod of Moses swallowed it up. Swallowed up their wisdom. So what I want to just to encourage you, stay with God, guys. Don't follow, like the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, don't sit in the seat of the scornful or delight yourself with sinners. Are you listening to me? Or walk with the crafty. Don't do that. Don't let it allure you. Satan will do that. He did it for the Lord Jesus. During the temptations, he said that if you bow to me, I'll give you all this. And look, let me tell you, Adam had delivered it to Satan. And Satan said that I'll deliver it to you. If it wasn't his own at that point, then it's not a temptation now. Do you understand? Are you listening to me? So, the Lord just said, no, I will not bow. I will worship only the Lord my God. So, I want to tell you today, worship only the Lord your God. Your own rod, when it's time, is going to turn to a serpent and swallow up those other wisdom. And you know what Jannes and Jambres told Pharaoh? They said, this is the finger of God. They got to a point they could not do. Because you know what? They had used magic. They had used the occultic. And God swallowed up their own occultic power. And guess what? Their end was not good. So, For people that don't repent and for people that go into those things when they know the truth. And if you've gone into it, I want you to know that there is hope for you to repent now. If you've not gone into it, you are being tempted, don't go into it. Stay with God. His own wealth is in righteousness and it lasts long. The one that is not of him is transient. It does not last long. And the end is always death. Especially if the person doesn't repent quickly. Are you listening to me? Are we together? So you can see the strongholds that we are facing, they are facts. I don't want to use the word they are real, but we relate to them. They are experiences. They are true experiences, but they are not the truth. Are you listening to me? They can be dethroned. That's like the Bible. That's like the emphasis in the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through love, to the pulling down of strongholds. As I go ahead, you know that love already has the characteristics of all the answers to all those things I told you. Love loves righteousness and hates sin. So it can handle immorality, the stronghold of immorality. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love believes all things. Love never fails. So love can handle materialism. Love has self-control. Are you listening to me? Love, you know, the first one I talk about is fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. See, let me tell you, the strongholds that we are dealing with and we are talking about can manifest in different forms. In fact, go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to take it bit by bit. Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the works of the flesh. And I want you to know that every work of the flesh has the potential of being a stronghold. So peradventure, I've not been specific about a particular challenge that you've been going through for days, for months, for years. And you have just like given up. And the Bible says that love never gives up. So you can see that the solution, there is a solution to every stronghold that seemingly looks impossible to uproot and to deal with. And to overcome. And to pull down. And yes, you hear that I can pull it down. But then when you face it, then it's like it's pulling you down. And today, of course, if we finish it, you see that there is a way of taking the stronghold. It's just that it has not been taught. But we thank God for the Father. Let's give a clap of hands to the Lord for Pastor Nmumi. By the time you see the answer, I trust that we can finish it today. But at least we'll touch it a bit. Now, look at these works of the flesh. There are many. It says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Adultery is for those that are married. Fornication is for those that are not married. For us that are married, there is that temptation, adultery. And is if you know the kind of breakups and cheating that happens. See, that's why this thing, you must know how to pull down that stronghold before you get married, when you are married. Right, listen to me. As a student, in class, on campus, wherever you are, you must know that you have to deal with strongholds. You have to deal with the works of the flesh. They are manifest as this: adultery, fornication for the non-married, for the singles, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Go on. Some of these things are idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, unbelief, unforgiveness, resentment. You see, it might be family issues. It might look like you're even justified by being resentful, by being bitter. Those things, some of those things are strongholds. They might not be the acts, like they talk about adultery and immorality. Some of them are making your love cold. They are making you bitter. They've not made you progress and grow. See, the whole essence of it is for you not to grow past that level. Satan wants to be the Lord over that mind, over the heavens in that area. Seditions, wrath, strife, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. We are talking about illicit sex, illicit drugs, alcohol, drunkenness, revelings, and such like so many. It comes in different forms and variants. You say, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things, addicted to such things, continuing such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And God wants us to, and he's talking to Christians, so don't feel that, okay, it's for unbelievers. He was writing to Galatians, the Galatian church. So he knows that people were still facing these challenges. I say, if we continue it habitually and we don't start dealing with it and doing things about it, and we keep saying it's okay and there's nothing I can do about it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, though. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the total dominion of the King God over every area of your life. That place where the stronghold has been encroaching and rooted in. The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants to be the one to replace it and dominate it. Are you listening to me? Are we together? There seems to be a bit of quietness. Is that either I'm touching something or I'm not touching it at all? Are we touching it? Condemnation, guilt. Oh, I've sinned, I've messed up. It's a stronghold for so many people. And so they don't come to church or read their Bible or pray again. I say, God can never forgive me. Now, it's not a license to sin. Don't misunderstand me. But the fact that you cannot run to God when you have challenges, or run to your oversight or your pastor when you have challenges, that's a stronghold itself. You see, it pulls you from growing, from increasing, from knowing who you are and fulfilling your purpose and destiny. And so it's good to highlight it. I'm deliberately taking time to highlight these strongholds in different forms. Because sometimes when the pastor doesn't mention it, you feel that you're excluded. Actually, I do that thing. I feel that there was somebody in that auditorium. But when you see that all of us are going through these challenges, but there is a solution, but we must first highlight it, let's first open it up so we can know what we are dealing with, the wound, you know, and know where God needs to heal us. Are we together? And so we have seen what a stronghold is, what an imagination is, the one that is still a thought. You know, the one that is still feathering as a thought, gaseous form. The one that is still a liquid. It's been knocking. It's been entering small, small. The one that is the landlord in the house now. He's sharing house with you. I say, no, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. No. You're getting out. If you've been even in my father's house or in my grandfather's life, you're going out of my own life. Yeah, I'm checking you out. You're not coming into the life of my own children. You understand what I'm saying? You're dealing with that for your sake and for your children's sake and for your generation. So you say there are some things that need to stop, and they're going to stop in the name of Jesus. And so God says we walk by faith. And he says it's going to take a walk of faith, not a walk of energy or self-motivation or, like they say, self-determination or looking into subconscious, conscious therapy, psychotherapy, psychology, all kind of funny things. You know, there is a spiritual force that is in remote control. But there's another one, the kingdom of God, that wants to sit and rule and reign there. So where immorality has been reigning, purity wants to reign. Where darkness and ignorance has been reigning, light wants to reign. Where unbelief has been reigning in your life, faith wants to reign. Where hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness has been, love wants to reign and wants to make you rule and know who you are and fulfill your purpose and destiny in every way, in every you cannot reach that place, so you can never go, you know, you just went to that kind of school or that kind of university or that kind of campus or that kind of polytechnic, you cannot go. No, I listen to me. No, what did God say about you? Pull down strongholds. Oh, there are some strongholds, they are very subtle. It's in the air. It's been the land. You've even seen people. No, that's not your purpose and destiny. I listen to me. That's where you will see that the key to so many of this is to demolish these wrong strongholds. The bomb blast that are going to use is revelation, knowledge, and intercession. The guy doesn't want to leave. He's going to leave. Oh, I listen to me. Sorry. The thing too is listening. And so, Satan uses strongholds to control lives of the majority of men on the earth. In fact, most human spiritual activities, human activities driven by spiritual forces emanating from strongholds. And fear of death makes people religious and occultic. Man's search for supernatural power. Love for sex makes people immoral and unfaithful. Immoral, especially for singles, unfaithful for married. Especially that there's so many things. If it's not on-site, it's online. And movies, you need to be careful with movies and music that you listen to and the lyrics, because they are spiritual forces, you see. Things will fetter. You might not know. It's like for our children, myself and my wife, we are very, very critical about what they watch. The challenge that we are having, and that you know, is that there's really no movie or cartoon that doesn't have a little bit of, you just feel like it's normal. In fact, they even laugh at it sometimes. And so they are laughing at adultery, and they are making jokes and comedies of fornication and of not marrying but living together and partner, they say, and LGBT, you say you're having same-sex marriage, everything is looking normal, and everybody is saying, okay, maybe it's normal. It's a stronghold that is now manifesting. And before you know it, when it comes to strong, if you're not critical about it, that's like, especially for children, we don't allow them to watch some things. And they themselves, when they start to see some things, they close their eyes. And when my wife gets critical sometimes, she calls me. We just find a way to distract them. Especially if you're in a public place where they are watching a public TV and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to look for a way to shield them. How much more us? And how much more you? And that's why I'm teaching you right now. How you need to be strong. God wants to be strong. Because we are in the end of days. Iniquity is abounding. And wrong is looking right. The right is looking wrong. And so you have to pull down the stronghold. You still have to, like Daniel in Babylon, where the culture was totally opposite of what they had learned in Israel. He stood his ground. Grace and truth. He wasn't in truth alone. I'm religious. And he wasn't in grace alone. I'm going to error. Because they will tell you that, always saved. And never, once saved, always saved. So there are some lies. That extreme grace, but also that Jesus, full of grace and truth, speaking the truth in love. So you have to balance it and combine both of them together. Sorry, you're the one that is in the end of time. But you have to know, and God is ready to help you to navigate. Are you listening to me? You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Don't say, there's nothing you can do because and put your hands in the air in failure. Love never fails. Are you listening to me? What did I say? Good. So you will not fail in Jesus' name. And so, I will introduce today. It's already 6:30. I will introduce today and then we'll go in detail next week of a story about David and his men and how they pulled and gained the stronghold of Jerusalem. Now, quickly give me. We'll still go in detail. I believe you're getting something out of this. Now, quickly give me 2 Samuel 5:8. We'll end with this story. And of course, we'll go back to the instruction that we have given ourselves. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And God is what? Excellent. So you can say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through love. To the what? Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, bringing into captivity every thought of the grace of Christ. So if we now use, you do math and economics and whatever. If we now do substitution and now give the end of the equation. What then can we use to pull down strongholds? Love. And so, before that verse again, I'm taking us back to give you hope and give you courage. Because you see, I don't know how I can say it. I don't want to say that it's resting on you. The hope of a generation. You're part of a people that is resting on their shoulders. There's a generation that feels that there is nothing we can do. Because see words. And then it's taking faith. And then you are believing it because you are seeing it. You see, Satan is a bad person. No? And so as the Bible says, and God knows his tactics, that he walks through the senses. And so God says, we walk not by sight. So guys, you will not live by sight. So we war not by sight. We walk by faith. And it is by faith that you change things, because everything that you are saying that has turned wrong is by spiritual forces that people have been thinking, have been saying, and then have been doing. And so if you want to reverse it, you have to use faith to think it, to say it, and to do it. Are you listening to me? Now let's quickly look at this story. Thank you. Now let's look at that story and then we'll end and then continue and take a part two next week by God's grace. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 8. Give me verse 7. And so, I like this story because I can relate it to my life and your life. If you are very honest though. And I've told you, we need to be, like guys, we need to be blatantly honest with ourselves so we can progress and move forward and get out of this cell and prison that Satan has seemed to put us and lies and has kept us from growing into the fullness of our purpose and destiny. go to verse 6, I think here, 2 Samuel. Okay, yeah, so look at this. This guy taunted David. And that's how Satan is taunting us with strongholds, with imaginations and with thoughts. And so, because we are the seed of David, this applies to us, and we can learn from it. It says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Remember that there were 7 tribes that they were going to take out of Canaan. You had the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. Now, these were one of these guys. I went to check the meaning of Jebusites. Jebusites means to tread upon, trodden. See, so there are two ways this can work. There are two sides of the coin. It's either you are trodden on the enemy or the enemy is trodden on you. Now listen to me. And so we are trying to take Jerusalem, a place of revelation. The Bible says they should go and stay in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So you know Jerusalem is a very strategic place. Even now, in the 21st century, the place they are fighting for in Israel is Jerusalem. See, whoever takes Jerusalem and controls Jerusalem, controls the Middle East, controls the world. In fact, when Jesus comes back in the millennial reign, he's not going to Lagos. He's not going to California. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to rule from there. So Jerusalem has a spiritual significance. I listen to me. And so you would know that David took that place. Once he took that place, man, he was settled. Do you understand? And that was it. Solomon built the temple. And so look at this. So, but to take it, there was problem. So you're not the one facing problem. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David. Now hear what this guy said. Saying, and so we're hearing these thoughts. By the things that we've seen, by the 5 physical senses, we are hearing these thoughts and this imagination and these strongholds and these words. Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking. Guess these keywords. David cannot come in hither. First, they said something. They said you can't even take the beggars. You can't even fight the beggars in Jerusalem. The people that are blind. So the number one thing Satan uses against us is ignorance. A stronghold of blindness. A stronghold of ignorance. You don't know. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You don't know who you are. You don't know how powerful you are. You don't know your weapons of war to pull down these strongholds. The next thing he said that you can't even fight the lame. Have you seen lame people? Have you seen lame people? So he said that you can't even fight the lame. You can't fight the lame. Before you take Jerusalem, you don't even have the power. You know what lame means? Lame means you're handicapped. Lame means the person doesn't even have strength. Lame means weakness. Think about different areas of where you are weak. Satan uses that against us. He uses ignorance against us. He uses weakness against us. I listen to me. He uses unbelief against us. He uses laziness against us. That's lame. You say, that guy is lame, Jerry. And they can't do anything. So, those guys taunted David with our mindset that you are lame. You can't even face the lame. You are ignorant. You are blind. You can't even face the blind of this place. Thinking. So, we are not even just talking about actions. We are talking about in your thinking. It says, thou shalt not come in hither. What's the next word that he says? What's the next word that he says? Thinking. So this thing that we are dealing with, it starts in the thinking level, that you cannot make it in life or grow to be like Jesus, to fulfill your destiny, or even know what is written of you. And so the thing makes you lame, makes you handicapped. Before you even say you want to stand, you're already weak. And these are challenges that face us. But it starts with thinking. It starts at a thought level. Thinking. And what they said, David cannot come in hither. You can put your name, but you're a seed of David. And the devil is saying, you cannot come in hither. You now give you some reminders. The devil is a bad devil. But we have a good God. Now, give me the next verse. I like this. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, Say it. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter what he's thinking and what he's saying and what he's doing or the experience. It says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold. I like that. Of where? Zion. Thank God you're in Zion City Fellowship. David took the stronghold of Zion. That's what they have said, that Zionites and Zion City members cannot take or cannot be. Or that we've seen in the word, in the Hebrews chapter 12. You will take it. The same is the city of what? David. Next verse. Verse 8. Now, I want to quickly show you the strategy, which we will now take up next week. It says, and David said on that day, and we are saying on this day, I'm the same, the name of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, the seed of David, the offspring and the root of David, and you are of his company. Whosoever getteth up to the gutter. Now, these are the places that you now need to be ready. Whosoever, David is showing them the strategy. The reason why they have not been able to take the stronghold of Zion. Zion is on a hill. The reason why they've not been able to take it is because they are using frontal attack. Those guys are seeing them coming, and those guys are defeating them from the top. But now, David gives them a strategy, which we'll talk about in detail next week. It says, get up to the gutter. You know what a gutter is? I would like to go in a gutter. Get up to the gutter, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind, that are hated of David's soul. You can see with the words that David is using again. Where is your stronghold? Where is the stronghold? In the mind, in the soul, in the thinking. The lame and the blind that have hitherto hindered you from growing up spiritually, from knowing who you are, from fulfilling your purpose, fullness of God's will for you, perfection, maturity, you know, beyond your own natural dreams. And so he says, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Verse 9, last verse. So David dwelt in the fort and called in the city of David, and David built. So the point is this. Joab, one of David's mighty men, they went through the gutter. The Bible calls it the water shafts. You see, they crawled. The Bible tells us, I think it must be in another verse. It says that they crawled in the gutter. Those guys did not see them coming. So they didn't go through the normal place of, let me quickly tell you, of praying in the understanding. The devil can hear your English and your Yoruba when you're speaking in understanding. That's a frontal attack. And you defeat you at that level. But when you grow and you crawl in humility, listen to me. You submit to an instruction that it's not, I said it at the beginning, I said, it's not popular, it's not trending, it doesn't have many likes on Facebook, on Instagram, not too many people are talking about it. How many people are talking about humility? How many people are talking about water shafts? The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. How many people are talking about eternal life? How many people are telling you that you should use the word of God to draw life and power? Then, the Bible says, they were unseen. People are telling you to pray in the spirit with all types of prayer. Where the devil does not understand what you are talking about in the spirit. And then I'm telling you that those are the weapons that you use to take the stronghold. Humility and love. These are all characteristics of love. The water shafts, the gutter. The Bible says where water was flowing. If you check Amplified, it says the water shafts. Where you have the words that the spirit control, they are spirit and they are life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I have come that I may have life and have him abundantly. And then, where they were unseen, where you are praying in the spirit and the devil has no clue what you are talking about, with travail to birth the will of God. That is how you are going to pull down strongholds, though. Except you are okay with the level that you are. Then you don't have to bother about what I'm teaching you. But as long as you know that this is not where I am meant to be, this is not what God created me for. God did not create me to be trodden under by the devil, by sin, by the sin nature, by the love of money, by lust, by immorality, by fear. God did not create me to be trodden by those. God created me to tread on them. Then you know that you have to crawl where the water is flowing to receive life and power, where you are unseen. And you have to pray in the spirit with different types of prayers, with travail, like we teach you here by God's grace and mercy, so that you can pull down that solid stronghold and take the fort and dwell there. Are you listening to me? As King and Lord, in the name of Jesus. Then, and only then, you know that this is for you. And so we'll just stop here and take it up next week. See, and as we end, I want your mind to go back to the instruction you were given. There's nothing, everything is the practical 21st century interpretations of these things and practical to-dos and practicals or to-dos are already in that thing that Prof was teaching us and Pastor has been taking us through the landmark of the path of life. Or you can call it the path of victory. The path of pulling down strongholds. The first thing you do is to pray for humility. Choose the fear of God. I didn't even plan it. The next thing is to pray the love prayers. We pull down strongholds. The weapons are not mighty, but they are mighty through God. So they're pulling down strongholds. When you check the characteristics of love, you see that love is meek. Love is gentle. Love is humble. Love is patient. Love loves righteousness and hates sin. You begin to say it. You begin to think it. Yes, there's going to be warfare. There's going to be resistance, but you continue. It's not that you'll just keep quiet and be lame and blind. You will wake up. You will crawl. You receive life. You pray the Pauline prayers for wisdom and revelation. Where they have said that you are blind, you are lame, you are saying, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then you pray in the spirit. You have to, guys, to weaken and to make the stronghold melt and disappear. So I want to talk to God personally. God, grant me mercy. Grant me grace. Grant me humility. Give me life. Help me to pray in the spirit so that I can take and pull down these strongholds. I can cast down imaginations. I can control thoughts. And they will not control me or dominate me. Yes, there is a warfare in the heavenlies of my mind. Michael, angels are fighting. The devil also is fighting his angels. But the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him using the blood. No more self-condemnation. When I sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. They overcame him by the word of God to give me life. In Jesus' name I have life. Father, give me strength. Give me life. They overcame by not loving their lives unto the death. They prayed in the spirit. They don't care whether it's trending. They don't care whether it's popular. They don't care how many likes. They don't care whether it's being preached. They know it is in line with the word of God. They overcame not loving their lives unto death. They prayed in the spirit. Whether they feel like it or they don't feel like it. And the Bible says that the devil and his angels were cast down. And I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for our accuser has been cast out. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we come with hearts of thanksgiving. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, thank you for the word that we have heard. Your thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. To pull down strongholds, to cast down imaginations, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Heavenly Father, we look up to you for fresh mercy. We look up to you for fresh grace. We look up to you and we thank you because you will help us. Help us daily to walk and live by faith and not by sight or by experiences. Or by what our senses dictate to us. Help us to live by revelation. Give us the fear of God. Help us to choose your fear. Help us to walk in wisdom and revelation. Give us strength and grace and help to pray in the spirit with all types of prayer on a daily basis. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bring the spirit. Thank you for release. Thank you, Lord Joseph, in our souls, in our wills, upon our minds, our emotions, our physical bodies, circumstances, regional heavens, in our health and finances, kingdom come, your will be done, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, putting on the whole armor of love on a daily basis, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Lord bless you. The offer.